Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, you know what I did yesterday, Kevin and Mike and Shippy? Guess what I did? I connected a brand new Tolo with our boss, Gavin Spittle, and the Sweaters Forever podcast.
Oh.
There was a guy that started listening yesterday, and I said, hey, you know, I appreciate you listening, because he wanted to hear more Stars talk. And I said, I appreciate you listening. If you aren't getting enough from us, because he's a new Tolo to us, why don't you check out the Sweaters Forever podcast?
Yeah.
Spittle put the link up on Twitter, and he started listening right then and was like, this is what I'm talking about. And I'm pretty sure they linked up last night at the Stars game.
Oh.
So that's what I'm talking about.
That's the Stars game that was a victory, Corey?
That's exactly what it was against the Coyotes last night.
Now, if you take a look, sports fans, at the Western Conference, tell me how many teams have more points in the West than the Dallas Stars?
42.
No, that is incorrect.
Zero.
No, that
one
is correct. You're wrong, Corey.
I went to two extremes.
The answer is zero. There is not a one team in the land of the Western Conference, don't worry about the East, where they have more points than the Dallas Stars. And the beauty of this thing, and really if you think about it, the Stars are actually in first place because they have more wins, so the Blues can suck it. But the Stars, right? Don't you agree with that, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
So tomorrow night, St. Louis Blues, 76 points. Dallas Stars, 76 points. They play.
Shippy, after 15 games, where were the Stars at? Because I feel like after 15 games, listening to you and Spittle talk about
at the
Stars.
Bottom.
Right, they were out of the playoffs.
They started 1-7-1, and then after that, it was maybe like, I don't know, like 3-7-2. Like I don't remember exactly, but it was 1-7-1 out of the gate.
And I don't want to compare this to this season of the Mavericks because it ended up being horrible. But they started off 0-4 and then won 67 games for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this is happening to the Stars. Not that they're going to have the playoff upset, but by the time we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs, that they're going to be the best team come playoff time, right?
I mean, it's definitely looking that way. And the St. Louis Blues got some bad news with Vladimir Tarasenko. They thought they were going to get him back.
He quit.
And they won't. Well, they've got to figure out what they want to do with him. They got to figure out if they want to put him on the IR, if they're going to try to see if. So Tarasenko was taking part in practice yesterday. So maybe they're going to keep him on the IR. Maybe they're going to bring him back. Not exactly sure. But the Dallas Stars right now are playing about as good as hockey as they possibly could. And since Rick Bonus took over, they're playing upwards of 67% winning percentage in each of their games. So it's in their total game.
I think what my favorite part, and this is what I said, you know, going into last year, because I felt very strongly about what they added last year and what they were doing. But when Shippy said yesterday that their current style of hockey is playoff hockey and does well in the playoffs, that's what you play two different brands most years anyway. If you can manipulate against each opponent along the way, like no matter who your matchup is, if you can force them into bad matchups, then that's the deal. And the Stars have the ability to do that across the board. They have a couple of pieces. They have a couple of toys that I think that they're missing still. But they are. I think they're more equipped this year for the playoffs than they were even last year.
And should be spot on about the Stars, like obviously continuing in the right direction. I mean, you look at the last 10 games, again, ignore the Eastern Conference where Boston and Tampa Bay are, oh my God, they're freaking ridiculous. But the Stars have been the best as of late in the Western Conference as well. And one of the reasons they've been able to make that charge up and challenge the Blues is because the Blues have been faltering left and right. You know, we brought this up, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, coming out of the All-Star break. that I really was hoping to see the Stars make a run at the Blues. I did not think it would happen this quickly. Now, obviously, Colorado is like right on your heels, too, and they have a game in hand. But you look at that game on Friday, man, and that ain't going to be no regular season game. Like, that's going to feel like an important game.
Yeah, and that's a big-time rivalry now. Like,
hell yeah.
That Stars-Blues game, I mean, you know, it used to be the Red Wings or the Blackhawks, you know. Last year, you'd call it the Predators. Right now, the Blues are definitely the biggest rival of the Dallas Stars. And Jamie Benn absolutely loves to play against the St. Louis Blues. Only problem is he might get suspended before they play tomorrow for that boarding call yesterday.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Which it was tough. I mean, they have to punish him. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. I think it's going to be like a 2-game suspension. But it really didn't help him out that Ekman-Larsson kind of turned into the hit. So, but the NHL player safety, they have to regulate those things.
That's
so,
fine. That, you know what?
I don't know if El Capitan's going to be there on Friday.
Listen, I love him, all right? But that's fine because your team has to know what they can do, all right? Like, yeah. Kevin, I tell you this all the time. I want to know how tall I am. All right.
Okay.
I want to know if I'm going to be underwater.
6'2"?
I want to know if I'm going to be underwater if the water starts to build up. And if they have to play a playoff game without Jamie Benn, they need to know what they can and can't do against the Blues.
Does your height fluctuate? And I don't
It's
about
a
you?
Saying. It's a an, oh. Is it an allegory, Kevin? Or was it?
I don't know how that would be an allegory.
I get weighing yourself because that can fluctuate.
I want to know how tall you are. I want to know what you're capable of.
Or
all right?
Do you forget a lot?
It is
like,
awesome,
I need to
though.
Know how tall I am again tomorrow.
It is awesome. Colby forgot how tall he was.
Everybody's favorite player, Corey Perry, got a goal and assist last night, though. He's the best teammate.
I hope that the Stars fans like him, finally. Like, he's been crucial to their success. You know, he came back, and like we were talking about their 1-7-1 start, Corey Perry came back and everything changed.
From the 469 KNC Mikester piece, can't we get a street hockey league? This is Texas. There's not any ice around. I'm sure
they
we
have
could start
star
one.
Centers everywhere.
Yeah, they are everywhere. All right, Kevin, the other story
not
that
the
is...
Not the one in Duncanville anymore.
I think of interest to a lot of people. I know the Lakers are really interested right now in what's going on, especially since the Clippers recently added Reggie Jackson.
Don't you feel like every player that gets bought out just automatically goes to the Clippers or the Lakers?
Well, not Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
That's true.
But Mo Harkless mentioned that he is taking it day by day about a buyout situation. And honestly, I haven't put any real thought into it. There's been some talk about it, but I'm kind of just focusing on today. If my agent and I decide to explore that, that's a conversation we'll have. But right now, I haven't really put much thought into it. He's 26 years old. Potentially being bought out by the New York Knicks, and he would be available on waivers. Would he be a Dallas Mavericks opportunity?
Yeah,
I'll tell you why I like him in a minute.
Is it because he's really versatile defensively? Because that's the number one thing for me. I mean, he is very similar in that vein to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, where you're not going to look for him to light up the box score or do particularly much offensively. But what he could bring to this defense, and look,
his defense has been their weakest link, right?
Absolutely. And I'm not hating the idea that you brought in MKG and Mo Harkless for nothing, and they might have become instantaneously your best two defenders. Like, I'm not hating that. So I'd be interested for sure.
I'm interested. I just don't know when it comes to you've added Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and he's been getting in practice before the second half starts. And I know there's only 27 games, I believe, in the second half. But you've added Willie Cauley-Stein, who's more in a big man rotation than anything else. I'm just wondering if the Mavericks were to get word that Mo Harkless wants to join the Mavericks, how difficult or challenging would that be for Rick Carlisle? That Mo Harkless, I assume, wants to go to a team where he knows he's going to be getting 20 to 25 minutes a night.
Do you think he cares about that? Well, because I probably needs that to be the
he's
case.
He's getting bought out, right? Then he's a free agent. So if you're a free agent and you sit the bench on the Lakers, I mean, you're really...
But if you win, that was my only concern is I guess I do need that to be what he wants. Because if he just wants to win, then wouldn't he think like immediately Milwaukee, Lakers, Clippers, maybe even the Raptors... Like, I think we can win eventually, but, like, if it was this year, you would look at those teams. So
I think it's a combo, right? It has to be a combo of I need playing time and I want to be on a great team.
Okay, so if the Lakers can offer him 8 to 10 minutes, same Clippers 10 to 12, and we're like, hey, you might not be a starter, but you'll start sometimes, and we can give you 20 to 25 minutes. does that balance out with like, well, they're not as likely to win, but I can get my shine.
I don't
on
know
more.
That it does. I don't know that it because I don't yeah. know exactly because I listen, man, there is something appealing about the coasts. All right. The coasts are just destination cities that people want to play in. Miami.
Right.
The West Coast. Everybody likes those places. So I'm just not sure where it works. But from my perspective, I see how he fits because of how he some of his ranges that he can go to. And I have the stupidest reason, Kevin.
Okay.
Mine is, I'm sorry, everybody.
Oh.
Mine is the dumbest reason.
Okay.
I am now working on my third championship in NBA 2K, Kevin. And
well, they did warn us.
I kept Anthony Davis around for more years because mm-hmm. we won two championships together, so he decided not to leave me. Mm-hmm. All right, but we have Mo Harkless mm-hmm. right now, and he mm-hmm. replaced Julius Randle. And he's one of my best scoring options whenever
I'm
not scoring 45 a night. And he's also a really good defender. He's my third best defender on the team aside from me.
You put yourself in the game?
It's me. I'm the star, by the way.
Are you 6 foot? What are you?
I'm 6 foot four. And I'm a,
that's not your height. That's why he has to remind himself.
I'm a three-point shooter, and I'm also the point guard. But at the same time, I'm a slashing three-point shooter. But I also have Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, and Harkless, and he's my third best player on the team.
Okay, let me ask you guys this.
I like his game whenever I watch him play.
Mo Harkless, is he better than Dorian Finney-Smith?
No. And I say that because Finney-Smith already knows the system.
I mean, if you picked up Mo Harkless and you're planning to play him 20 to 25 minutes,
I think he's a better defender.
Okay.
I think he's a stronger defender.
Who would you rather play for the 20 to 25 minutes?
Probably him, because I think we need that more. Okay. Like our offense is like the best in the league in terms of efficiency.
But here's the
thing. I might tend towards
Finney
that.
Smith adds to that though, Kevin.
Sure,
And I will say this, because he already knows, there's no learning curve. So it would take games for him to get into the groove of things. You're seeing it with Willie Cauley-Stein, even though we projected that this is what you would get from Willie Cauley-Stein. But I feel like it would take him time to get in the rhythm with what Finney Smith already does by instinct.
So it comes down to you know the parameters that we've just discussed. You give thumbs up or thumbs down. Make the decision.
I would rather just go with what I have at this point. I think Dorian Finney Smith, for me, has really grown on me this year. Look, his ball handling skills and passing skills are below average. His defense is solid. His three-point shooting in the corner is awesome. I don't want Dorian Finney-Smith on the court if we're going to championship basketball, which we're not at that level for the Mavericks. Probably the last 3 to 5 minutes of games, he should not be on a basketball court for a championship team. But I don't think Mo Harkless should either. So I'd rather just keep going with Dorian Finney-Smith and look in the offseason to improve over a Mo Harkless, Dorian Finney-Smith for my final five guys.
All right.
I would take him if he's willing to be part of the team. Just because everybody
says 10 to 15.
Everybody on this team fits into their role.
Okay.
And they accept their role and they're part of it because they all buy in. And that's the thing, is you got to buy in with this roster right now. Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe he hasn't bought in yet. He says he has, but there's like, that was a guy that got traded here. So he was like, what? I'm on a potential playoff team. This is so much better than me in Golden State right now.
Yeah, no, which is a weird thing.
The other thing, Kevin, is there is an 8 media members that are going to join the Texas Sports Hall of Fame on Saturday, May 30th. I just wanted to throw this out there. And it's going to be at AT&T Stadium. And they're 8 honorees. This is the first media representative selected for the induction into the State Hall since 2004.
Wow.
It's kind of a big deal because
it took them so long.
And I just kind of wanted to highlight some of 105.3 the Fan's own here. Eric Nadel is one of them.
Oh.
And Brad Sham.
Oh.
Both being nominated or elected into the radio or the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. That's an awesome deal because Adrian Beltre is going in this year, I believe, too.
Have you ever been to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame?
Yes, I have one time.
Me too.
Rainey Galloway, Shereen Williams, one of our own as well.
Yeah.
We've always talked with Shereen Williams. The late Frank Gleiber and Denny Freeman and John McClain out of the Houston Chronicle and somebody who's been who was an impact on my career because I had a chance to interview him. I went to UNT to study under him. Unfortunately, he retired the year I got there because he knew I was showing up. The great Bill Mercer, the former radio voice of the Cowboys.
Bill Mercer is awesome. And it's funny that you say that because I instantaneously think of him as the voice of world-class championship wrestling with the Von Erichs. Man, I got to interview him once when I was in college, and we were just chit-chatting about whatever, and I was like, oh, my God. He was telling all these other stories, and it was just so amazing. And then he goes, do you have a minute for a few more stories? And I was like, I could tell you about the Von Erichs. I was like, hell yeah, I got more time. And so I just kicked my feet up, and because we were talking on the phone, it would be rude otherwise. And he just kind of told me stories about the Sportatorium and the Von Erichs, and he's awesome. I'm happy for him.
Two 105.3 The Fan teammates of ours going into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Eric Nadel and Brad Sham.
Eric Nadel was at the Stars game last night.
He knows what's up.
Yeah.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NFL looks like it's going to expand to 7 playoff teams per conference. What do we all think about that? We'll discuss next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Do you want to see the playoffs expanded? Because it looks like that's about to happen. Now, I know we brought this up recently with baseball, and everybody lost their minds because they're like, I'm a purist. I can't have more baseball teams in the playoffs. I'm a Rangers fan. I need my baseball team to have a chance to be in the playoffs. It doesn't happen that often. And also the Cowboys. I want more opportunities for the Cowboys to be in the playoffs. And they announced yesterday that as they are getting closer to the new CBA, which it sounds like the owners have conceded the 17-game schedule, if they can include another playoff game, because that would help them financially, right? Like, that would add some extra revenue to the business.
There is still a proposal on the table, though, to get both, where they would kick in another 0.5% of the revenue, which is so much freaking money
players. I think this is, to the players?
Yep.
How much money is 0.5% of revenue?
It's tens of millions of dollars.
So it's thousands of dollars to each player?
I don't know if they're working off of the $16 billion that they made in 2018 that we know of. We don't know what they made yet in this upcoming season.
Yeah. So,
it'd
be like $80 million.
Jeez. They would spread out across
0.5%.
Across 253 players? Is that what it is?
It's more than that.
Okay.
But still, I mean, it's a nice extra chunk of money for sure.
From the 214, I'd vote on no expansion as is, but yes, with the amendment of a second seed bye. So I do ask that question. Do you think that adding more playoff teams, it's what, 2 playoff teams?
Yeah, 1 per conference.
1 per conference. Do you think that dilutes the playoffs?
Yes, I do. And because the NFL has I thought they had the best playoff system, but I mean, you've kind of seen that this is the way it goes. Like NHL, NBA, they're almost maxed out in terms of the ridiculous number of playoff teams that they have. Major League Baseball has continued to expand and might expand even further, but the NFL has held firm, I think, at this number since like 1990. And I was just looking at some of the Twitter responses, and some of them are really funny. Benjamin Albright from the NFL Network. He said, the NFL has basically the best playoff format, not named March Madness. The NFL, we should change it. And then another one I liked is alternate proposal from the NFL, push for ownership. 32 teams make the playoffs in a 64-team March Madness-style tournament. And like, I don't think we need another,
So hold on, you want a tournament? Do you want a tournament in the middle of the season?
No, I'm kidding.
A mid-season
NFL
tournament.
No, I don't. But the person I feel the worst for...
Each team plays one quarter?
Is somebody tweeted out, if the NFL had this format like 10 years ago, Jeff Fisher would have never missed the playoffs. I feel really bad for him. He's the one whose legacy took a hit on this. He could have made the playoffs so many more times.
Best regular season coach we've ever seen.
Same with Jason Garrett.
I don't mind this, and I believe the reason the NFL is coming up with this is, yes, it does add one extra playoff game in the wild card round, is... the Cowboys can't get it right. The Cowboys draw the ratings so much in the regular season, and the NFL isn't going to cheat for the Dallas Cowboys, but they're like, son of a gun, man. Our most popular franchise in the NFL by far is the Dallas Cowboys, and they can't get it right for a quarter of a century. They can't figure out how to make the playoffs consistently. They can't figure out how to win in the playoffs. We can't make them win in the playoffs, but we can add an extra spot. And how many times over the last 10 years or so have the Cowboys missed and somewhat missed by one spot? They would have not made the playoffs this year because there were teams that had better records overall. I think the Chicago Bears and the LA Rams would have gotten the extra spot if there was an extra spot. So it wouldn't have been the Cowboys making it. But I think part of this is our most popular team can't figure out how to make the playoffs. We're going to try to help the Cowboys out in this way.
And somebody just asked, if you're adding another wild card team, what does the wild card team ever do? So I wanted to look this up, and it goes back to when the Cowboys made Super Bowl 10, and that's back in 1975. So you're talking about 44 years. In the last 44 years, a wild card team has made the Super Bowl 10 times. So once every four years. And then six times a wild card team has won it. So the interesting thing about that is once every 4 years, a wild card team makes the Super Bowl, and once every 7 years, a wild card team wins the Super Bowl. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Mike said it could never be done, yet it's already been done at least 10 times.
I will say this. That's a great history of 44 years. Recently, and I think this is why they are trying
since
to
the
get,
Packers, I believe.
Right, since they, the last 7 years, 14 teams in a row had a bye. This eliminates one of those teams with a bye. So that means only one team, the best record, gets a bye. So our last seven Super Bowl matchups, the teams had a bye. So it's gotten to the point where it was just make the playoffs. And there was a nice history there from about 2005 to 2013 where if you just make the playoffs, it really didn't matter if you got a bye or not for the most part. But the last seven Super Bowls, 14 teams all had a bye in the playoffs.
So I guess my question then is, does this actually make it more competitive, or does it put those number one teams in a better position?
I think it makes it a little bit more competitive in the regular season because now instead of the top two teams getting a bye, it's only the one team that gets a bye. So you'll still have like your four division winners, but now you'll have three wild card winners, and it's only the number one seed that gets the bye. And then the three other division winners play the three wild card teams, and then you move into the divisional round based off of the winner. So you are eliminating a bye. And then for the owners, this makes all the sense in the world to me. And I kind of wonder if it does for the players, too, because the players are still looking at that philosophy of, I know the wild card teams haven't had success since the Packers took it down here, but they're like, hey, that's another team on each side for an opportunity to get in. And for the NFL, they're like, hey, these are two more TV slots that we can sell on that Saturday and Sunday.
Would the Cowboys have been in?
No.
They would not have been in this year. And that's what the
Rams and Bears would have both made it. But there's been plenty of times where the Cowboys have just missed out over the history of this horrible 25 years, the worst 25 years in Cowboys history by far that they've missed out. So I think they're looking at it going, how can we get the most popular team a better chance of making the playoffs? Because they're screwing it up left and right in Dallas, and we desperately want them in. They are the most popular team. They draw the most eyes, and yet we can't get them in the playoffs on a consistent basis because they're not good enough to do it.
It also gives an opportunity for, let's say there's a big injury to a player that happens in the middle of your season and it costs you a game or two, but you get that player back at the end of the season.
Would my counter argument not be this year's Kansas City Chiefs, who that exact thing happened to them and they didn't need any hocus pocus and they still won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Like, yeah, absolutely. But what about a team? We don't know what a team that has that situation happen that was on a run and then all of a sudden this one player got injured. They get him back at the end of the season. What could they have done? So it just allows for the opportunity for it to happen. I think that what they're doing is just allowing more opportunity for something to happen rather than eliminating. Plus, again, it allows more fan bases to be involved in playoff football. It's not a bad thing from their perspective. From their perspective, it's just we get more money, we get more eyes, we get more of this. And I see what you're saying, Mike. I do wonder who was at the forefront of this. Was it the Cowboys that were like, hey, what should we add this? Because we know how powerful Jerry Jones is within the owners group.
And it's an end around to get that extra revenue source. So like, let's say.
Whenever, if Jerry was the one that was like, hey, do y'all think we should do this? Every owner said, money? Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Oh, because like, think about it. So you're the Players Association and you're like, we want 17 games. And you're like, not interested. Okay, what's another way that we can make money? We talked about it in the regular season. A regular season game is worth, in the TV package, $50 million per week. All right? So adding two more playoff games, which is what you would be able to do with the two extra playoff teams and the subtraction of a bye, that's a minimum of $100 million added to the revenue line every single year. Now, I would imagine you could charge even more since it's the playoffs and the TV contracts are coming up. So let's say it's $125, $150 million. So the owners look at this and they're like, all right, we might not get our 17th game as easily as we thought without giving up things that we really want. What if we added a playoff team? Because the players aren't going to hate that. You know, like there's no player sitting out there. I can't imagine that there's like, you're going to make it easier for me to potentially get a run at the Super Bowl. I'm against it.
Does this devalue the regular season?
Yes. 100%.
Well, I mean, you still have teams that are going to be competing for the bye.
Not for me.
And then I still think you're going to have more teams competing for the last spot, so I think there are going to be less teams tanking.
Okay.
I don't mind them adding the extra wild card team.
All right. I want to swing back around to that in just 1 second because somebody sent in a text, and I actually think it might work the opposite of this. The 817, maybe fewer teams rest starters in week 16 or 17 or 17, 18. I don't know if that is the case. I see the potential for more teams to rest their starters because, like, let's say if you know you're not going to get that one bye, but you're already locked in to winning your division, I think more teams might be locked in ahead of time and they might be sitting more people. So I think this could make fantasy football even more complex. For me, it devalues what was the best regular season that we had, but it doesn't devalue it to the point where I'm like, I'm out on football. That's absurd.
I see what you're saying there, but I also see like for the first couple of years, just like with the LeBron or the game this year for the NBA All-Star game, it was competitive because of the way it was this year. In 6 years from now, I don't know if it'll be the same, but that might be the case, Kevin, where for the first couple of years, everybody's like, whoa, we got to get that last spot. And then later on down the road, you start seeing teams go home. We figured this out a little better.
I think the public loves the do or die factor of the NFL. That's what drives it. Is there's only 16. And then when we got to the last 2 weeks of the season, we knew the Cowboys weren't a good team.
Yeah,
you had to be crazy if you thought the Cowboys were actually good this year. It didn't mean they were horrible. It just meant we knew they weren't good. But yet going into that Philly game and then the outside hope of the Washington game, it was like, I'll watch this team just because there's an outside chance Philadelphia will lose and will still make it. Is now you would add possibly three other games to that scenario in week 16 and week 17 where teams are like, it's tough because you know you're not good. Because I think you bring up a great point, Corey or Kevin. They're going to have a team that's not very good make the final wild card spot, that extra wild card, third wild card spot. But yet you'll be more intrigued because you're like, well, we're not just playing out the last two games of the season. There's actually an outside chance of us going 8-8 or 9-7 and actually still making the playoffs.
From the 251, how are the players going to feel about playing an extra game for the same pay? That only impacts one team, like the number two seed that would normally get the bye, that only impacts them because the number seven seed that would get into the playoffs, they're going to be just fine with it. You know, like my season would be over otherwise, and now I'm still in the mix to win a Super Bowl. They're going to be just fine with it. I don't think you're going to get any complaints about that. From the 214, what happened to tradition keeping things the way they are? Because I think this is the first real radical change they've made to the structure since 2002 when the Texans came in and then they just shuffled things up a little bit. That didn't change the number of teams because that goes all the way back to 1990. I want to go back and I want to check and see if there's a way to find out what all the reactions were in 1990. was everyone like, oh my God, you're ruining football, blah, 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 blah. And then everything was just fine.
Yeah, it's going to be just fine.
I mean, football, I don't doubt that. And I'm not going to stop watching football. It's just not my favorite thing.
You need to, football's not your favorite thing.
No. Wow, adding Kevin. The, wow. No.
First Luka.
Adding the seventh team.
Romo,
that is not,
now football.
Not, most of those are not true.
Hey, real quick, I just saw this from the 105.3 The Fan Twitter account. And follow it, at 105.3 The Fan, 105.3 The Fan and FC Dallas.
I watch more football than you do.
Yeah, exactly. Are proud to present the 2020 season kickoff show. You can hang out with me and Kevin, Clark Hunt, Luchi Gonzalez, Paxton Pomacall, and Reggie Cannon Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here at the station. You come down to our performance center downstairs, and we'll all be hanging out. We have
this Monday?
The 2020 season kickoff, Monday, February 24th from 7 to 8 with that crew right there. We'll talk about it a little more, though.
All right, FC Dallas fans, we will see you there. Actually, that's a good segue, because coming up next, a French soccer player was suspended for biting another player's junk. What's the most unsportsmanlike move you've ever seen in a game you were in or at? That's right. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And if you go to 105.3thefan.com, you can see Kavanaugh's top 32 NFL prospects in a Cowboys trade-up scenario. The story of Greg Robinson being jailed for pot charges. We'll get to that in Gridiron Gravy, and also
Free
Emmett
G
Smith.
Rob.
Also Emmett Smith, Kevin. I wanted to get to this real quickly before we get into the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
And that is Emmett Smith brought up yesterday, hey, look, Dak needs to think not about the money he's leaving on the table, but about the money he can make in endorsements. And everybody's killing Emmett for, hold on, didn't you hold out that season before, and didn't you take this same stance where you held out on the team? Did you think about the money that you could make as in endorsements as a Cowboy? And Kevin, I do wonder, at that time in his career, this team did not have those endorsements. This team did not have the business connections that Jerry Jones has accumulated over the last 25 years.
They were working on building it back up, because for a while, the Cowboys were a dead brand.
At the Star right now, there are businesses working. You can sit elbow to elbow with Cowboys. You can sit next to people at lunch. You can see the Cowboys practice from your office. All right. And so I feel like that has changed over time. So I'm not going to kill Emmett because he sees it. But I did hear Mike Fisher this morning say, I think he just loves his Cowboys, Emmett, and he wants to see his boys together. And that makes a lot of sense. And
I mean,
especially since the money now is so much different than the money was back then.
Absolutely. I do too. I have nothing against Dak getting money. I also, but I'm not like, I like the Cowboys better than I like Dak Prescott personally. I want the Cowboys to win. So that's why I always want everyone to take the least amount of money so we can keep the most amount of talent here and win the most amount of games.
Yeah, and Mike, like, as far as that's concerned, did Emmitt Smith was asking to be paid like a quarterback at the time.
Right.
Does that make any difference because he's not a former quarterback?
I think Emmitt has become a Cowboys fan. And for some reason in this conversation, he doesn't see how destructive it would be to the NFL Players Association, especially to the quarterbacks that are going to come up on contract, to take what would be considered, the way it always goes, is to take a $5 million discount, approximately is what Emmett is saying to do.
Yeah.
How much that would hurt the Players Association, and how much that would hurt the future quarterbacks coming up on contract.
Yeah, it is a weird position to be in when you have, it's not just you, it's so many other people that you're kind of representing whenever you're doing the contract negotiations. And fans don't think about it that way.
Oh, I absolutely do not think about it that way.
But
you're right.
But the agents absolutely do.
And that is their job, because, and I understand that.
Because they're thinking about, hey, if I get this guy a big deal, that next recruit, that Trevor Lawrence,
right,
I can get him a big deal.
If you're CAA and you decide to do a $32 million contract at this point, if Dak says do it, and you say, all right, I'm your agent, I'm going to do what you say. And a lot of people say, don't the agents work for you? Yeah. If he does it, if CAA does that contract at $32 million a year, they probably have 5 to maybe 15 clients call them up and fire them the next day. and they move on to Rosenhaus, and they're like, hey, look.
Lee Steinberg.
I thought you were a guy that gets the most in the market, but obviously if you're taking major discounts, and they'd have to try to explain themselves, and maybe they get to keep some of those clients after, let us explain what we had to do here. Most likely, if Dak Prescott says, I want to do a $32 million a year contract, what CAA says is, all right, you're going to have to do it yourselves. We're out. We're going to have to drop you as a client. You can go sign that contract or get somebody else to represent you in this contract, because if we do that, we're going to lose way more money by doing that contract
than just your commission,
making the money off of you doing that contract.
All right, but now, Mike, to the meat and potatoes of segment, the absolute smoking a pancake of this part of the segment, Kevin. What is the most unsportsmanlike move you've ever seen in a game that you were at, or maybe that you even played in?
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with beanballs to the Astros. This absolutely has. This is the weirdest headline I've ever seen. Soccer player banned 5 years for biting opponents.
What does it say?
Perner.
For biting is junk.
Oh, biting is.
If it makes you feel any better.
Biting is ding dong.
On the field during a game. Like, I mean, that's...
What did that person do to deserve his thing getting bit?
Let me read this part of the story. An amateur soccer player in France was suspended 5 years for biting an opponent's ding-dong during a fight on the pitch. The incident occurred during a game in November between SC Turville and AS Sautrich.
Sure.
Two clubs in the eastern region of Lorraine, separated by just a 10-minute drive. When the two players began fighting, the unidentified victim, a Turville player, stepped in to break it up, according to local news site Lorraine Actu. That's when the Sautrich player bit the Turville player on the ding-dong. The victim was forced to go to the emergency room where he received dozens of stitches. To Yikes. Close the wound and was deemed unfit to work for 4 days. I would be unfit to
That's
work for
it?
Months. Yeah. And the matter was referred to the disciplinary arm of the local governing body of soccer, which ruled this week that he needed to be suspended for 5 years. The club was also fined £200, it looks like.
That's like $216 or something like that.
It might not be that big of a league, all right? Like, it may not be a $18 billion league like the NFL.
I mean, but still, wouldn't you think?
I feel like biting somebody's
$250
junk. Like, you're in a position where you feel like you're about to really lose a battle and you might lose your life in this fight. And you're like, look, this is where my head is at. This is what I have to do to win this situation, because if not, I'm about to get pummeled, beaten, knocked out, killed. Like, I don't know at what point that your brain goes to, you know what? A little bit of a scrum here. You know what I'm going to do? Take it to probably the most extreme level I can take it to at this point.
It's just like Bear Grylls always says, if you're in that place, you have to be willing to go to a certain place that nobody else is willing to go to survive. That's probably what this guy felt at the time. Who's the biter? Is it Suarez?
It's Mike Tyson?
Yeah, Andrew Luis Suarez.
Luis Suarez is the biter that plays soccer, and he's what bit like six or seven different people.
Oh yeah, he's got a problem.
Yeah, man, and that happens sometimes, but that's... I've never been a biter. I've just never been the kind of person that, like, that's...
I mean, mark that.
It's a little too much information for me.
Well, because this one girl bit my lip and it always hurt.
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
what are you
different
doing?
Different discussion for a different time. But in sports, I'm wondering, 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. No. What is the most unsportsmanlike thing you've ever seen? Somebody said I wouldn't call the moment unsportsmanlike. But I had the privilege of being at the Bautista-Odor face punch game.
Oh, the last good thing he did here.
Were you there, Mike? Were you there
no.
at that game? What did you love it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a Rangers fan or as a baseball player?
That was super awesome on every level. Yeah, I loved it as a baseball fan. I loved it as a Ranger fan. I was not, you know, after a time, what Jose Bautista did, now I can kind of, because it's played on highlight still on MLB Network left and right. It's not, that is going to last forever when it comes to great celebrations. And I'm kind of been over it now for a while and looked at it from the other side of where they were at, the emotions of that situation and what he did, and go, you know what? Yeah, it might not be the best way and not very humble when you do that, but right. at the same time, like, I get it. It puts you into the next round, most likely, and in a situation where you felt like you were cheated by the umpires, with Chu getting hit in the hand by the ball, which allowed the go-ahead run to score when Rougui Odor went home. I totally get it, but Batista was asking for it. He wanted to fight. His punch was just too slow. Rugi's was just too fast. That will be the one thing that Rugi's probably remembered for most as a Texas Ranger, and it was an awesome moment in Rangers history.
Now, the one that jumps to mind for me, and I didn't realize it was as dirty as it was until the next day at school, is we were having a pickup football game after school one day when I was in high school, and one of the players went down, and people were like joking around, and a couple of people like jumped on top of him or kind of kicked him. And the next day he came to school on crutches because he had torn his ACL. And so he went down like legit hurt, and we thought he was just like crying. And so people like added to it, and it was bad.
I did see one of my teammates in football. He had tackled a player and spit in his face.
Oh,
and I felt
no.
like I even picked him up and told him that he went too far. I was like, dude, you can't do that, man. And he was one of those guys that, like, once he got to a certain level, he just didn't know when to stop. But he was awesome football player, just didn't know how far to not take things. But I also was watching a pickup soccer game once, and I was just kind of at a park and playing basketball, and these guys were playing soccer, and I was just kind of resting, and I was watching them play, and my buddy was out there, and the guys that they were playing against were older and didn't speak English. And so they're playing against him and everything, and this guy just got fed up because my buddy was really good at soccer, like really good at soccer, and he ran past him, and the guy just grabbed him by the boys and just held on, and my friend started punching him in the face.
Oh,
just
my God.
Boom, boom, because he was screaming, like, get off of me, and the guy would not let go. He was laying on the ground holding on for dear life. I just feel like that's an unnecessary thing.
From the 214, good Lord, we have a lot of people that are weighing in on this. My buddy Kevin in Ndamukong sued some guy to the head during a high school football game, crushed his face mask, and got a 3-game suspension.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I will tell you, one of the worst things I saw in person was 2 years ago at the Duncanville, and help me out, who won the championship the last 2 years from Houston area?
Was it Fort Bend Elkins?
No, I forget the name of them. Okay. North Shore.
Oh, yeah, Galena Park.
Galena Park,
oh,
North
sorry,
Shore.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking basketball. Gotcha.
Okay, sorry. So it was 2 years ago, not the last one, is with about 30 to 45 seconds to go, Duncanville's about ready to score a touchdown to take the lead, and it might have been with a minute or something. And one of the Galena Park North Shore kids intentionally grabbed the face mask of the quarterback and ripped it all the way around to the other side.
Oh,
and it was only
no.
like a, you know, 5 or 7 yard penalty because they were with
so
it,
close already.
So close. And you could tell on replay, it wasn't like, oh, I just had to stick my arm out. He went for it and then tried to rip his head totally off. And it should have been an ejection.
Yeah.
It was that horrible of a play, but it was just considered like, you know, hey, unsportsmanlike face mask, half the distance to the goal. And I thought, man, that kid is lucky. The one that's going to UT, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Quarterback for Duncanville.
Oh, from oh yeah, yeah. Wow. Oh my goodness.
That I was like, man, that was as dirty and nasty of a play that you could have in kind of high school football.
From the 214, when Ricky Davis shot at his own basket to get a rebound for a triple double.
Okay, but I'm really concerned. I want to have a conversation with this person. I hope they've evolved, or maybe they're just really fun to hang out with. From the 214, when I was in fourth grade, my first year of hockey, we lost in the championship on Mother's Day, and I went through the handshake line punching everyone in the face.
In the face? You can't get past the first two without people being like, hey, not you.
Man, okay, I was at a regional wrestling tournament at Allen, and it was amazing because this kid, it's like amateur wrestling, and this kid essentially like suplexed somebody and dumped him on his head, and they were like, he got penalized a point, and they're like, don't do that again. within the next 30 seconds, he was destroying this kid. He did the exact same thing again. He picked him up and suplexed him, and I was like, oh my God. He got disqualified, and then he got ejected from the building. He wrestled for the home team, and that whole place booed him, and when they started to boo him, he was like throwing his arms up in the air like, come on. It was awesome.
He was turning heel on everybody.
He did. It was great.
Leroy Glover used to accidentally, and I'm using air quotes right now on radio, used to accidentally go number two in the middle of on the field.
What?
Is that unsportsmanlike?
He just pulled it out.
I was like, I don't remember that when he played for the Cowboys. I don't know if it was for the Cowboys.
I think maybe. Yeah, no, he was solid. I don't know if that was solid or not.
Okay.
Oh, what about when Randy Johnson made that bird explode?
Wouldn't we see that on his football pants?
I don't know. Were they dark pants that day?
Well, the Cowboys never wore dark pants. They either wear those silvery blue pants.
All right.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back to, I've heard players talk about accidentally go. All right? Okay. I don't want to throw Leroy Glover under that bus.
Or Paul Pierce.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, there it is.
I hope Leroy Glover is like, man, not true. Stop making up stuff about that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, could this bold NFL move lead to an acceleration in the Dak Amari contract talks? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Well, I know Kevin's sad because Valentine's Day is over and past, and it's his favorite day of the year, especially with the sweet new honey. But I can still get you a great deal with DFW Security, Kevin and Tolos.
Yes!
DFW Security has the smart cameras to make your home or business the smartest of all. DFW Security's video analytics service powered by Alarm.com uses AI, artificial intelligence, to make sense of what your cameras see in real time. It can tell whether an object is a person, animal, or a vehicle. For example, you're going to get alerted when a vehicle stops outside, but not every time one drives past. Or a vehicle leaves your property unexpectedly overnight. You're going to get that notification. Set your lights to turn on when a person enters your backyard, but not when it's an animal. It's that simple with DFW Security's Smart Camera Special. Powered by Alarm.com. Here's what you're going to get in the special. A smart hub with security. Plus four smart cameras, including the doorbell camera. With video analytics, I just said four cameras, right? And I'm now going to say for less than $2 a day. Call right now and mention my name, Mike, and you're going to get free professional installation and free equipment. Both of those are going to be for free at 888-507-2344. All you have to do is say my name. All you pay is the first month of service to get started. Plus, if you get installed by February 28th, you have 8 days left, you get 2 months free. 2 months free. Free professional installation. Free equipment. 888-507-2344 or dfwsecurity.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.